please to Luke chapter 11. Gospel of Luke in chapter 11. Probably the natural progression from my ministry yesterday would have been to go where our brother Marius has been, so I'm going to take a detour and leave that alone because he's covered it so well. And I would like to speak on prayer this afternoon, please. So we're going to take a couple of readings, firstly here in Luke chapter 11 and starting at verse 1, the first four verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now back, please, to the sister passage in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the context actually starts from verse 1. But we're going to just pick up really the thing, the area before us is, we might start from verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his word, and we will quote and read from other places as we progress. We started in Luke's Gospel. And the occasion there is that the Lord had just finished praying. And one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. I'll be honest with you, as a very young believer, I struggled to pray. Didn't know what to say. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Growing up in a Christian home, hearing my father predominantly, my mother when Pa wasn't there, praying for food, visiting the assembly meetings, all of the meetings, hearing brothers pray. I struggled to know what to pray when it came to me. That very first night that my uncle asked me to pray, a little back room in the St. Albans Street Gospel Hall. I don't know whether I could hear my own voice over the beating of my heart. But sometimes we've just got to be like these disciples and say, Lord, teach me to pray. When we come to Matthew's Gospel, the context there is slightly different. He's looking at the way that some of those Pharisees and the hypocrites and all of those were acting. And they were doing it for a show. They were doing it to attract followers. And so that is the context in which he tells them the basis of this prayer that is known as the Lord's Prayer. Just as a side note, I went to the Hastings Boys High School, did my first few years of high school schooling there. Every full school assembly, one of the prefects would walk in with an old Bible and would read from the Gospels, a few verses, a paragraph or two, and then the entire school would stand and quote what is known as the Lord's Prayer. This is in a secular school. I don't know whether it still happens today, but that prayer was quoted and repeatedly quoted every single week throughout all those years in schooling. When we come to thinking about the Lord's Prayer here, or at the least the disciples' request to teach us to pray, the Lord often used everyday examples to illustrate spiritual things. He took everyday illustrations, everyday items and things to help explain something, and I would like to do the same this afternoon. I would like to liken our prayer to a nice healthy salad sandwich. A healthy salad sandwich. The first thing I want you to notice is that there's usually a wrapper around the salad. And I want to think of that as, I'm going to use three R's. I want to think of that as our relationship. It's our relationship with our Father, our Heavenly Father. And that's what pins everything together. That's what holds it all together. Did you know that prayer is a right? It is something that we come into access to when we get saved. The moment we get saved, you have got the ability to pray. You're encouraged to pray. And so it's based on this relationship with our Heavenly Father. So you've got the wrapper. I want to think a little bit of the fact that I want to think a little bit about the fact that it's got you've got two slices either side. And I want to think of reverence. Reverence. Please make sure that you've got reverence in your prayers. He's our Heavenly Father. We come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We approach in His name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Look at the end of it. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As you think, and if we can just, in the way of a sandwich, can we just deconstruct it a little bit and draw a few of these lessons from that as we apply it to our prayer life? That underpinning all of it is our relationship with our Father. That the opening and the close should all be in reverence and appreciation of Him. Those moments of worship and appreciating just who He is. So we've got our relationship, we've got our reverence. And then in the middle, you've got all your fillings, haven't you? The thought of our requests. They're not all requests, but I like my alliteration. The Lord identifies four things in this prayer. He identifies plans. He identifies provisions. He identifies pardon. And He identifies protection. Plans, provisions, pardon, and protection. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Take your plans to the Lord in prayer. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. take your plans to the Lord in prayer. Not to tell Him what you're going to do. Don't make all your decisions and then say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Can you please bless it? Take your plans prayerfully to Him and allow Him. Our brother yesterday was talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, you used that word. Just submit your plans to Him. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Plans. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Make known to Him your needs. Lay them all out before Him and allow Him to provide for Him. We've just been hearing from our brother about the Lord's ability to provide for His own in very specific needs. And it doesn't matter what that need is. Physically, financially, health-wise, emotionally, spiritually, obviously. Make known to Him your needs. The Lord has made it very clear that He already knows all our needs, doesn't He? The Lord, our Heavenly Father, He knows what things we have need of before we ask Him. But He loves to hear it from us. He loves for us to express it to Him. And so make your provisions, your requests known unto Him. What about pardon? A forgiving heart. We've been forgiven much, haven't we? We should have that forgiving heart. Inevitably, you're going to feel like somebody's done you wrong. It might be a misunderstanding. It might be genuine, whatever. Just lay it out before the Lord with a forgiving attitude. Lord, You've forgiven me of so much. I was undeserving of it. Help me to have a forgiving attitude to others. And then protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Oh, as we anticipate our day, as you anticipate what is confronting you or what you're expecting to approach throughout the day, ask the Lord to preserve you. And maybe it's a physical journey. You know, when I was young, about 17, I was living up in Mackay at the time, and I visited the Karoi Assembly. And we were just holidaying there as a family with my parents and siblings, and we visited the Karoi Assembly, and we found out that the next week there was going to be a week-long Bible studies and tract distribution at the assembly where our brother and sister McCann are from in Burley Heads. And Andrew Chapman, some of you know him, he invited me to go down with him for the week, and it was a wonderful experience. That first morning when we jumped in his car, he started his car, we all put our seat belts on, and then he said, just a moment, we're going to pray. And he prayed for the Lord's preservation as we drove. You know, as a young believer, just a couple of years saved, that was a powerful experience for me. Such a simple thing. And I learned from that. And I try and do that all the time myself. Before you start out on a journey, just something as simple as asking for the Lord to preserve you. But not only is it the thought of physical things, but there's also the thought of spiritual, isn't there? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. We're aware of the pressures and the trials and the tribulations. We're aware of the temptations that come our way, and we just need to ask the Lord to preserve us and to help us, just to be a testimony for Him. And so you've got this beautiful little deconstruction of a prayer, if you like. That underpinning it all and wrapping it together it's all based on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That there needs to be that reverence and that appreciation of who He is. Those moments of worship as you approach the throne of grace. And then you've got the, as it were, the fillings. You know, as I was thinking of the analogy of the of the salad sandwich. We could put a full salad setting across here. And every single one of us start at one end and just go through. Did you know that there'd not be any two sandwiches the same? And so as in a public setting, can we just use this in a public setting, but it applies to it, your private prayer as well. As one and another and another and another get up to pray, the prayers are varied, aren't they? As different things come to us and we're appreciative and our meditations have just led our worship in one way or another. And maybe it's in a private setting and we're thinking of the trials and the tribulations, or we're thinking of needs of others and we're upholding them before the throne of grace, and your prayers are going to vary. Let's bring it back to a regular setting. You know, my wife and I are quite different. She could go to that same salad bar 7 days in a row and she could have 7 completely different sandwiches. I visit a Subway and I've got exactly the same sandwich every single day. But when we bring that into the likes of our thinking around prayer, we don't want to get into a rut. We don't want to just, and I'm speaking from experience as a younger brother, that when I did start to pray in the assembly, I felt that I was just praying the same prayer. And I felt myself in a little bit of a rut. But we don't want that, don't we? We want that. We want the Spirit to help us just to bring this together. Bringing it back to an assembly prayer situation, can I encourage each of you brothers, especially the younger ones, let your voice be heard. Maybe you think you're like the little young lad that our brother's just been bringing us before us, that Andrew brought, and he said, well, here's a little lad, he's just got 3 little loaves and 2 fishes, there's not much in it. But look what the Lord could do with it. The Lord appreciated it. And maybe you feel that if you just stand up on your feet, you don't have much to give, but you've got something to give. The Lord will appreciate it, and the believers will appreciate it. And maybe, just maybe, we've got to make sure, as older brothers, that we make room for younger brothers to speak. Give those opportunity just for that little sandwich to be delivered, to be shared. And so you've got these few thoughts about our prayer. You know, I was thinking of James. James speaks a little bit about prayer, doesn't he? In chapter 1, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God. He gives to all liberally, and he doesn't upbraid, and it shall be given him. Just like the disciples, they asked the Lord to help them to pray. As you've identified something, just ask him for help. He goes on in chapter 4 and he says, well, sometimes you don't have because you just simply haven't asked. There's a lacking in your life. Maybe you just don't have it because you haven't asked. But he goes on there and he warns and he says, well, maybe you have asked and you haven't received it because you're asking for the wrong reasons. Asking for personal gratification. That's chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, I think it is. Asking for personal gain. Asking for personal benefit. We were twice yesterday, it was brought before us, those verses from Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is within each one of us. If you're genuinely saved, he's there within you. And just like we sometimes struggle to express, he's able to just to take our thoughts, our feeble thoughts, our scattered thoughts, our, especially when you're in the midst of a trial or something, you just, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. Or maybe your thoughts are, you would love for this to happen, but you've just got to be open with the Lord and say, well, yes, Lord, this makes sense to me. I'd love for this to be the outcome, but preserve me if it's not your will. And just be conscious of that you want the Lord's will in your life. Philippians chapter 4, we read there yesterday, didn't we? Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's all your layers, isn't it? Let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. We love to be anxious, don't we? I'm just talking humanly speaking. We love to anticipate the worst. We love to see shadows around every corner. We love to look at the day before us and imagine what could go wrong. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, he picks up his pen and he says, look, I don't want you to be anxious for anything. But in everything, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, he knows all about it. He does know all about it. But he loves to hear it. And he just wants you to just lay it bare before him. The result of that is verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes the peace of God, as it just comes into your mind, into your heart and into your mind after you've prayed, it just surpasses the need to actually understand. I can't understand it, Lord, but he just gives you peace. And so he says, the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your minds, your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Come back with me, please, to Psalm 37. There's just a few little basic principles in this psalm that I'd like to point out to you. I often appreciate them myself. In my home assembly, I often reference this psalm. The first thing I'm just going to do is just pick out the five little statements and then we'll go back through them momentarily. Psalm 37, look at the opening statement of verse 3, trust in the Lord. Look at the opening statement of verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. The opening statement of verse 5, commit thy way to the Lord. The opening statement of verse 7, rest in the Lord. And the opening statement of verse 34, wait on the Lord. It's one of the first passages in my Bible that I actually started to mark. And I underlined those five statements. And I've loved them and often meditate upon them. But you know, just as you expand the comments in each verse, it gives you a beautiful pattern for how to approach prayer. In verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. As we trust in the Lord and commit our way and just trust Him for our lives, then we're trying to live for Him to do good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Oh, great. Where's my wish list? No, that's not what it's talking about. Because if you're trusting in the Lord, and if you're trying to walk correctly before the Lord, and if you're taking the time to delight yourself in Him, just to delight in the Lord, that is that you're appreciating Him and you're just absolutely enjoying the relationship you've got with the Lord, that's going to frame up what you're going to ask, isn't it? Delight thyself also in Him, in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. See how often it just keeps repeating itself. It just keeps reminding us of these points. But as you've laid that out before the Lord, now you're just going to commit your way to Him. And just lay that out before Him. But don't forget to trust in Him. Because it might not go how we like it to go. How often do the nation of Israel come up with this beautiful plan and bring it to Moses and say, well, Moses, can you take that to the Lord for us? And the Lord goes, actually, I've got a better way. And that happens in our lives as well. So commit your way to the Lord, but trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Oh, if you're living for Him, and you're trying to honor Him in your life, and you're delighting in Him, as you commit your way to Him, He will guide you and lead you in a way that magnifies Him, His influence and His grace in your life. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way. Rest in the Lord. I think it was our brother Wilson yesterday that said that we can be very impatient, can't we? And so the recommendation here, or the statement here, is to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. And don't get all fret. Don't get all upset by others that are prospering. As you see the ungodly, and they're prospering because of their ungodliness, don't allow that to influence this. As I read this, I often think of David putting himself, and David was the writer of this psalm, but I often think of David putting himself back in the cave of Adullam. I think it was the cave of Adullam. He's being pursued by Saul and his armies. God has already promised him the kingdom. And they're in this cave. King Saul and his armies come in to rest in the heat of the day. David and his men, they just all go back into the little alcoves all around in the back of a cave. And what does David's men say to him? Here's your opportunity. The Lord's told you you're going to reign. Take his life. Just move up God's timetable a little bit. You know it's His will for you to take the throne. So what would it matter? And I think that was probably in David's mind as he wrote this. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And fret not because of the ungodly that prospers. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't put aside trying to live and serve and walk with Him to escalate what you see to be something that is of good. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in the way. Verse 34, wait on the Lord. Just in case you didn't quite catch it, just wait for Him. Wait for Him to move. Keep His way. Trust in the Lord. He just keeps reminding us, doesn't He? Keeps reminding us of what we're doing as we're living and serving Him. Keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Oh, when the time is right, God will move. But until that time, just wait for Him. Just in closing, and I was thinking recently, I was studying recently in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah's book is full of prayers. There's some major prayers. The first chapter is Nehemiah's major prayer, and then in chapter 9, there is a major prayer of the Levites. 3 months, Nehemiah prayed this prayer in chapter 1. He'd heard about the Jerusalem. He'd heard about the remnant. He'd heard about the state of the city, the walls all broken down, the gates in disrepair, no protection. And so he prayed. Now Nehemiah wasn't a builder. Nehemiah wasn't even a leader that we can see of any reference to. Nehemiah was a servant, serving the king. For 3 months he prayed about this burden that he had on his heart. And then one day the king said, "What's wrong?" One day the king said, "Well, what do you ask for?" And so not only do you have those two major prayers of chapter 1 and then chapter 9, you've got what I often refer to as the Nehemiah prayers. Some people call them an arrow prayer or a power prayer. Simply a short statement. Most likely inaudible. The king said to him, "For what do you ask?" I love this statement. "I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king." I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king. You know, I often remind my girls, I've got 3 grown daughters, I often remind my girls about that as they're facing something that day. My youngest is shy, quiet. She had to stand up just, was it last week, with a public presentation in her course. I knew she was anxious. And I just said to her that morning as I left, I said, "Don't forget your Nehemiah prayer." I said, "You've got 3 footsteps to get from your seat up to the front." That's your opportunity for your Nehemiah prayer. "Lord, help me. Give me the strength." That evening, sit down beside her, how did it go? "Oh, Dad, I wasn't worried at all." She just used that Nehemiah prayer. She was anxious and she took that to the Lord in prayer for the day. He gave her strength, didn't he? A Nehemiah prayer, a power prayer, an arrow prayer. Just that constant. And this is the point I want you just to bring home to you this afternoon to help you in your own lives. That consciousness as you go through your day that you can just lift a prayer to Him. Just a short statement. As you're driving, acknowledging His preservation. As you're working, just ask Him for help. As you're studying, that He just gives you the help to just focus on and to find what you need. A Nehemiah prayer. One of his is also in chapter 6, and he simply says, "Lord, strengthen my hands. Lord, strengthen my hands." And then there's a few remember me's. And that provision prayers. Just as he's working and laboring for the Lord, he just says, "Lord, I'm just dependent on you. Just remember me as I'm working for you. You know the needs, you know what things there are." Provision prayers. Just a few thoughts just to encourage you in both your personal and your public prayer life, that we might just be a little bit more closer to the Lord, that we might be more conscious of His willingness to hear us and His desire to hear us, His willingness to help us. Just to develop that consciousness of the right of access that we have as those that are saved, to approach our Heavenly Father, to do so based on that relationship, to do so with an absolute consciousness of reverence that He's our Heavenly Father, that we approach in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we make our requests known unto him with our thanksgiving. May the Lord bless his word to us.